Live and direct, we come and never pre-recorded with information that will never be reported. Disregard the mainstream.
You're listening to WORT Madison. Stay tuned for Mel and Floyd.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got you. Wow, I feel nice. A sugar and spice. I feel nice. A sugar and spice.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment, but with us, as always, is the man who knows everything, Mr. Smarty Pants.
I'm kind of Mr. Cranky Pants today. I pulled a muscle in my back. Aww. And yeah, I know.
Wah-wah.
Wah-wah. Yeah, that's the way I'm feeling. And I discovered something that people, generations of the elderly have known since going back to when we first started walking upright, which is if you lean over slightly forward, it hurts less.
Yeah. And you got to go.
Yeah, yeah, it's right along my spine in the back, and so when I stand up straight, it's that muscle's doing all the work, and
yeah,
it really hurts like a you know what.
Yeah.
And I had a friend of mine who was in town yesterday. I hadn't seen him in ages. It's so funny. It's such an interesting life experience. He used to be a college professor, and now he's a massage therapist. Which, if you've worked with today's students, that actually kind of makes sense. but he was super helpful, but you know, it doesn't last forever. So
yeah.
So I'm kind of sitting here like,
he didn't rub you the wrong way.
No, in fact, he knew exactly. This guy, he was like one class away from getting a certificate, whatever. He knew exactly what the muscle was. He knew exactly what to do. Everything was great, but you know, he had to go back. He lives in Kentucky, so he had to go back to Kentucky. So anyway, but I was just kind of like, then this morning I'm like, wah, where's my personal massage therapist? So I'm in that mood today.
That's funny.
So you know, up front, everything is seen through the prism of my pain.
Yeah. That stuff getting old.
Yeah, well, it just kind of spadoined. I mean, like out of the blue.
Yeah, I know that. Now you know,
it was like, stop.
I'll tell somebody I've got an ailment, and they say, "Oh, what'd you do?" And it's like, nothing. I got out of bed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Put my shoes on.
I looked too far to the right, and my eye went pop.
Yeah, right. I was talking to Melvina this morning, and I was telling her about when I was walking Clopsy on this nice path we've got in Oregon.
Yeah.
That some kid on an electric scooter came buzzing by.
Sure.
And almost, you know, clopped Clopsy.
Yeah.
Clopped Clopsy.
Yep.
And she interrupted me, and she said, "I know you hate those things."
Well,
it's like that's like the boomer complaint now about the kids on the scooters.
No, but you know what? Tell Melvina to check out the stats on this. There was a story just this week yesterday in the Wisconsin State Journal about e-bike and scooter injuries are on the rise. And I got to tell you, who got crashed was some little kid who's like 6 years old. He was, he was just flying around on one of those babies and ran into a parked car. I mean, this is like, these things are, I mean, they're, you know, when you're riding something that's only got two wheels on it, you want to make sure it's not too fast.
Yeah.
That's just part of the thing.
Right.
And that's a gravity thing. Tell Melvina to look up the laws of physics.
You know?
You really want to get the glow down on this.
Acceleration and mass.
So it's not just the cranky part of it. It's just that this is a problem. So since they started tracking data on e-bike and e-device injuries, UW Health has said there were just 6 emergency department visits for injuries at UW Health in April and May in 2025. But this year, there was a 483% increase in number.
25.
So 35. Yeah, 35. But the number is going up, and it's going up pretty consistently. Statewide, over the past 3 years, the number of reported crashes involving e-bikes and motor vehicles increased by 194%. and the number of injuries went up too. And of course, the thing to remember about that, kiddiewitties, is a lot of things that you run into on the highway, if you're on a small powered vehicle, like a flimsier powered vehicle, everybody else is in a freaking truck, if you haven't noticed recently.
Tank.
Yeah, a tank. This is a general problem right now in our society, is how many pedestrians are dying from getting hit by quote-unquote cars, which are actually trucks.
Right.
So this is all real. This is a real deal. This isn't just cranky stuff. This is like people made changes in how they motor, how they move around, and what's happening as a result. Again, laws of physics, just look it up.
Well, part of the problem, too, is that if you're having those on a path where people are walking and riding regular bikes and pushing baby strollers and you've got seniors with canes and stuff, you know, and these, they're very quiet. I mean, that's what really gets me is, I mean, this one girl buzzed by Clopsy and me one day and I was fine with it, but I didn't know she was there. She just came flying by and I kind of exclaimed something I probably can't say on the radio. Her head just whipped around.
I'm looking at the words you're not allowed to say on the radio. Which one?
Pretty much all those.
Okay. and her head, six of them. Seven of them. Yeah.
Her head just whipped around. Yeah. Whoa. And I wasn't mad at her.
That's the way I talk.
I was just startled, you know.
fellow human over there. Well, you know, the thing about it is, okay, again, back in the day, everybody, but this is when you took stuff seriously. Just bicycles themselves are classified as vehicles under Wisconsin law. And here in good old Madison, Wisconsin, we used to have dedicated bike police.
Yeah.
People on bikes making sure that you were obeying the laws, because it's not just anything goes. It's a traffic flow problem, right? I mean, the reason why you want to have, you don't want creative driving. You never want creative driving because you're just trying to make sure the flow is going right. Yeah, you want to standardize it. No guesswork. This is why we have turn signals, people, you know, like things like that.
Socialism.
Yeah, so you don't have to read their minds. It's just, you know, and a lot of people have tinted windows. You can't see where their eyes are, what's going to happen next. So let me know.
That's so you can't see them texting.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, that's the point. So you're looking at that. It's not a question of what generation you're from. It's a question of looking at it from a point of view of traffic control and how it works and how smooth it is and so on.
Yeah.
So what you're suggesting, which I think is true, is different kinds of vehicles should either have absolute rules with respect to who has the right of way. You know, pedestrians should always basically be the lowest powered vehicle, as it were. So they should have some kind of sort of basic privileges, or have different means of communicating, different, you know, you have different paths for different things, different lanes for different things.
Yeah.
Something that these things are not in conflict with one another. Right. That's what you really want.
I don't know if they still have it, but when I lived in Minnesota, Minneapolis had, they've, you know, got some extensive paths that go around the lakes and stuff. And they made separate paths for wheeled vehicles and foot power.
You see that in big cities in Europe, too, that rely on, like, if you go to Paris or you go to Vienna or someplace like that, they have different lanes for people walking and different lanes for e-bikes and different lanes for bikes.
Yeah, and you see it a little bit around here. There's some behind the convention center. And,
well, back when we had bike cops, you actually also had to purchase a legitimate, clearly visible bike license plates.
Oh, really?
So that if you were flipping off the law, they could, you know, they knew who you were and could get in touch with you and give you a ticket. So, you know, it's like, I mean, that's when you're taking it seriously. It's like, this is a vehicle under Wisconsin law. So what are those E things? Well, they're whatever you want them to be. And that's a little bit too much of what we have in our society right now to begin with.
It's a lot like everything. It's like we've invented this thing and then thrown it out.
Yeah.
And then we'll see, you know, let's experiment on the human race.
See how many people die and then we'll figure out what to do next. Yeah.
Plus, I mean, and I don't want to.
No, we should talk about this more.
I don't want to do the whole hour on this.
Yeah, no, come on.
Maybe three quarters.
We'll talk about my back after that. That's bringing him in.
And by the way, vote for us for best of Madison. Yeah. but there's something about, if you're a kid, you should get around on your own power. You're going to have your whole life to sit on your butt and look at a screen.
Well, there's that too.
You know, and get out and get some exercise and, you know, move your own vehicle.
Yeah.
Until you're 16, then you don't have to move again the rest of your life.
Right.
So, but then.
I remember a Mad Magazine parody, the very first Mad Magazine that ever came out. They had a parody of what the world would be like in the future. And, of course, in the future was like the 21st century. Yeah, and everybody was basically in a little, like, super-powered robot wheelchair with a screen in front of them. And yeah. Man, I was looking
at it. Boy, they nailed that.
They nailed it. I was looking at a reprint of that the other day, and I thought, those people, see, that's the thing. Because as soon as you start getting satirical about something, you know the freaking human race. They're going to invent that. I mean, it's like, they'll never do that. That's the joke. That's a big joke. Nope, they're going to do it tomorrow.
All these other, quote, serious projections about what life would be like. We'd have these cities in the sky flying to Saturn and stuff. Those all missed the mark. But the Man Magazine nailed it. Oh, my.
I have to say that the Jetsons... The Jetsons idea, by the way, that we all have video phones, but we all disguise what we look like from each other. That was like an immediate, obvious thing.
We've got filters now.
Yeah.
My favorite theory that kicks around every once in a while is that we probably talked about this before, but the Jetsons and the Flintstones live in the same time era. It was just like post-apocalyptic era.
Oh, I love that.
Where the Flintstones are the poor people who got left behind.
Yeah.
And the Jetsons are like the rich people.
Because they're living up on the top of those poles.
They're in sky.
Oh, wow.
And the Flintstones, it would explain why the Flintstones do weird things like celebrate Christmas or you know, have a TV and
sure.
things like that.
They've regressed.
They kind of remember things.
It's kind of like
the cargo planes made out of bamboo.
Oh, I love it. Well, and they're aspiring to have things through their primitive technology that you would never get the idea to have.
Right, like a phonograph.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I think I'll put this bird and his bill on this record. It's like, well, unless you had the idea of a record, that would not have occurred to you. So yeah, so there's like I think the cargo cult comparison is excellent because that's just like a lame reinvention of the original thing.
And
they
remember bowling, you know?
Bowling
and
I'd like to bowl with a boulder. That would be really interesting. I think that would certainly favor certain bowlers over others.
I'd like to bowl on my tiptoes and make little tinkling sounds.
Pirouettes, okay. Yeah, so, right.
Anyway, all right, well, that's our show for today.
Brought to you by Generation Jones.
Oh, all this blocked me for some reason.
Hey, did you see our good old... Lickspittle Supreme Court ruled 6-3 that basically Trump can do whatever he wants. But here's the thought. I can't remember whether it was Amy Comey Bryant or who it was, but they gave him a healthful color swatch so they can like hold the color, you know, brown and tan and hold the colors right up to the people to decide, you know.
They got it at Home Depot.
Yeah, here, this is how you decide which people you want to get rid of.
So the paint department.
Yeah, it's a nice range. You know? All the way up to ivory, you know, and that's for the South Africans, of course.
Yeah.
They can stay. So
I saw a story that we're getting like tons of South African emigres now.
Yeah, they're getting a bunch of like stuff. They get their little bag, little goodie bags. But the goodie bags have like it's totally tailored to the Trump. Basically, again, you know, sort of neo-fascist mentality, you know, talking about the sanitized version of U.S. history, you know, slavery wasn't all that bad. And I mean, just completely outrageous stuff. So they got all kinds of little goodies in there, but they also got, you know, I don't know if they have MAGA hats in there, but
probably,
they might, you know. But yeah, so no, it's totally just, you know, ideological, you know, swag bag to give them.
Oh,
so,
I hadn't heard that. Climate change event on extreme heat has been canceled due to extreme heat.
Yeah.
So, you notice
we're not in Paris this summer.
Yeah. Yeah, this was scheduled to be in London.
Yeah.
It's too hot to have the climate change conference on extreme heat.
So. Sure. Yeah, makes sense.
It's like 90 degrees in London or something, isn't it?
I think it was 107. In Paris. In Paris.
Yeah.
Paris is the worst. That they're on a plane there, and it gets really, really hot and arid.
Well, we got an email from our pal Jan.
Yeah.
It says, our town has a sign on the trail that states, no motorized vehicles. There are e-bikes that are quiet and fast. The cops say our laws don't seem to keep up with the technology.
Yeah. We call those silent but deadly.
I've often been accused of that. But
here's the joke of the week. You probably saw this. The White House said on Tuesday that Mr. Trump is nominating a man by the name of James Gadwood. He's a tax lawyer at Miller & Chevalier to be the chief counsel of the IRS. And not surprisingly, the firm that Mr. Gadwood is a member of is represents DJT Holdings, LLC, Mr. Trump's holding company in tax matters.
Oh, my God.
So his basically the guy they put in charge, he puts in charge of the IRS legal division, is his personal tax lawyer.
Oh. Well, he's got more time. The guy's got more time now because the IRS can't do anything.
Yeah, he's never getting audited
again. To the
again.
Trump family.
Yeah, so. Good. That's an excellent point, Mel. Yeah. I hadn't thought of that. So much time on his hands.
Just being efficient.
Yeah.
Well, here's my joke of the week.
All right.
John Bolton pleads guilty to mishandling classified documents. So he had an ex-Trump advisor who has turned against Trump.
Sure. He's the mustache guy, right?
He's the mustache guy. He was a former national security advisor. He's pleaded guilty to mishandling classified security information as part of notes he compiled for a book. He admitted to a single charge of illegal retention of classified information. That's good to see that the Trump administration is going after people who take these classified documents and mishandle them after they leave office. So,
yeah.
Nice to see that crackdown on that.
Man. I got two stories that seem like an inevitable emanation of the crazy of hypercapitalism, late hypercapitalism. According to a new plan that's been buried in the fine print of the new Obamacare regulations, the Trump administration is floating a new idea that people who can't afford to shell out thousands of dollars in out-of-pocket medical expenses can borrow it from their insurance company, of course, at a rate of interest. So in this document, it's the final rule about how the affordable care market will operate next year. Every year they revise this. It's 1,121 pages, so there's lots of opportunity to hide things under stuff. Like, you know, don't turn over that page because you'll find some little bugs running around there.
There's the kidney exchange there.
the
free market kidney exchange.
Exactly. But so basically The administration has suggested that insurers might consider offering loans. That'll be the next step, right? Because that's what most car companies in the United States are right now. Car dealerships, they're just like loan agents, right?
That was the Lee Iacocca genius.
Yeah.
His big thing was people don't tell people what the car costs.
Yeah.
Tell them the monthly payment.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they ended up making more money from their finance section than actually selling cars. So
about a third of American households already, a third of American households have some kind of medical debt right now.
Really?
Yep. And experts are like completely freaked out by this idea that they're going to be basically putting it on the insurance company credit card at God knows what rates. No one's talking anything about how that would be regulated or who would have any kind of say about what the flat rates and the top rates, nothing. The last thing you want to do, said this one economist from Stanford, Neil Mahoney is his name, the last thing you want to do is to increase deductibles and load people up with more medical debt. No. That's the first thing you want to do if you have a certain kind of mentality. Here's another related.
I know a guy named Vinny that'll lend you money at a lower rate.
Back when I was a kid, my parents, do you remember those savings and loan and what was the other company kind of? They would loan you money. I can't remember what they were called, but they're basically loan sharks. My parents, because we didn't have much money, my parents were always going to these entities.
Like a payday loan.
Loan kind of thing. And I swear to goodness, twice they got the repo men came and took stuff away, and then they would, once it was an entire living room suit, a second time it was our car and our television set. My sister and I were watching cartoons on Saturday morning, and there was a knock on the door.
Aww.
And the repo man took our color television. And my sister like, well, what are we going to do now? We have to talk to each other. You know, like, what's
come
this
on,
whole?
Bullwinkle's on.
Yeah, exactly. Have a heart. But both times it was, they didn't get out of their loan because the repo, they just like sold it to their brother-in-law for a dollar or something, because this stuff was all totally, you know, below the radar.
So who sold what?
So the repo man would come and take it back, supposedly to help liquidate the debt, right?
Yeah.
Because my parents had not been paying their payments.
And the loan shark would.
And the loan shark would like, we got such a little because it was used. We got so little out of it. It's like, well, you could have just let it have it, at that point. But they had to resell it some other schlub or something. You know? So at any rate. Yeah, no, it was pretty bad. Let's see. Oh, here's another one I love. It's very similar to the first. So artificial intelligence, as we know, is booming. They've stolen all our information, and now they want to sell it back to us. And the technologies companies say they need, as we all know, the new powerful data, you know, power-hungry data centers. And but they've got an idea. They've got a great idea because these are the people that have great ideas. Three companies involved in installing and managing rooftop solar panels, home batteries, smart thermostats, and other smart devices say they can solve this problem by tapping into the devices in millions of American homes and apartments. These are things that control, produce, or store energy. So, not surprisingly, Tesla is one of these companies, the, of course, electric vehicle and battery maker.
So they're going to, like, turn your air conditioning on?
They're going to yes, they're going to be managing thermostats. They're going to be looking to find up ways to free electricity capacity for the needs of 17 data centers that this consortium is thinking about constructing in the near future. And so companies could use the software to direct thousands of consumer home batteries to charge when there's an abundance of solar energy and then release that power after the sun is set. So they're basically going to be manipulating your quote-unquote smart devices in order to make more money for them, more energy for them, so they can power their various systems.
Yeah.
So this is the thing about modern ownership. You own something. I was just like, I'm looking at this like, do you not get it? It's like they own it all. They're just leasing it. You are now, technically speaking, a serf. Like everything you have belongs to someone else, and you get to lease it for as long as you pay them, and then they get to do with it whatever they want when they feel like it, and you don't own anything.
Right,
so this is
right.
just another, this is technological serfdom, basically. They're going to use what was supposedly your thing to skim off the extra energy
yeah,
for them.
Yeah.
Wow.
The subscription model.
Yeah. So here we are, feudalism. Back to feudalism.
I've read that people who are like really into tech, like really, you know, hardcore computer people.
Yeah.
They generally don't have very many, if any, smart devices.
Yeah.
Because they know what that is.
Well, they also send their kids to real colleges.
Yeah.
I mean, all this stuff that they're like, here, peons. Oh, I mean, loving and wonderful clients, you know.
Juicy fruits that are just low-hanging fruit.
I mean, they don't work at home. And they don't send their kids to crappy schools where you just look at a screen all day. They don't let their children have, you know, 24-hour access to their horrible mind-bending devices.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
all I have to do is look at what they do.
But I wasn't talking about the yeah. oligarchs. I was talking about like people who know computers.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
they say, no, I would never have a smart thermostat or something.
Right,
it's like leaving your door unlocked and just wide open.
I want nothing in my house to be smarter than me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
For me, that's a low bar. It's like me and the toaster. They have smart toasters. Yeah.
It can be as smart as me, but it can't be smarter than me.
That's why Clopsy and I get along so well.
Exactly.
It's pretty even there. So. Oh. Hey, remember that guy who was at FEMA who kept talking about how he had transported to a Waffle House?
Yeah, dumbest superpower ever.
You didn't even make the Legion of Alternate Heroes.
Yeah, I know. I can go to a Waffle House whenever I want. Next.
Well, he's been transported out of FEMA now.
Oh, wow.
A top FEMA official who had drawn scrutiny for bizarre past remarks, including claiming he transported to a Waffle House, has been pushed out of the agency, according to sources. White House officials appointed Greg Phillips in December to lead FEMA's Office of Response and Recovery, and that's a pretty big deal at FEMA. That's kind of what they're supposed to do. Despite the history of promoting election conspiracy theories, particularly in the aftermath of the 2020 election, not despite, because of, he came under national scrutiny in March after CNN reported on a cache of outlandish comments from his appearances on right-wing podcasts, including the teleportation claim.
Wow.
But they found a spot for him. He's the ambassador to the Romulan Empire. It's a sweet gig.
It totally is. Well, I live on Romulus or Remus. I don't know. I'll just teleport back and forth.
They're not as tight as the Vulcans.
Yeah, right. No,
you know, they're a little more looser.
Yeah,
a little more fun.
Yeah,
and but they're not as like scary as the Klingons.
Yeah, so. That's a perfect compromise.
Yeah. But it took, you know, that this came out in March.
Yeah.
Like 3 months later, it took them 3 months to fire somebody who said, "I've transported several times to the Waffle House."
They were test marketing among the MAGA faithful, I think. Like, how far can we go?
Well, a lot of the MAGA faithful said, "Me too."
Yeah,
no, that's called.
I'll see you there.
That's called being blackout drunk.
Yeah, right.
A lot of people wake up at the Waffle House and wonder how they got there.
I've been there. I've seen that happen. Yes. What am I doing here? Speaking of the MAGA faithful, did you hear that both this last week, both Tucker Carlson and Marjorie said they are no longer in the Republican Party?
Empty green?
Yeah, yeah. Marjorie and Tucker, I think they're starting their own party.
Yeah.
I think it's something about the White People Party or something. I can't remember exactly the title.
The Booze Party.
Yeah, pretty nuts. Hey, Plato was in the news again this week.
More and more people are talking about
yeah,
him.
He's really getting a lot done.
No, we should have him on the show sometime.
We really should. He's famous. He got in. There was a professor down in Oklahoma who got into trouble teaching a classic text because in Plato's Republic and in other. Oh no, it wasn't the Republic. It was in the Symposium. Plato basically thinks there's more than two sexes. And he talks about that in the and this is we're talking like in the 300s BC. He's like, oh, there's probably more than two sexes, and so this professor was teaching. You know, it's just classic text of Western history that all these supposed of the right wingers just love to death, right? But it turns out that you know there are interesting ideas in these texts if you really read them, as opposed to just spout off about
them.
And so this
that.
Professor got in trouble. There was like, oh, he's teaching some kind of woke transgenderism. It's like. I'm teaching them Plato, for God's sakes. Well, he came up again this week because you may have heard that we now have a trillionaire in the world, Elon Musk, Melon Husk, as I like to call him. And the real question is, when you think about that, like, what does that say about society and so on? And Plato actually had something to say about this. In his book, The Laws, one of the several books that he wrote that have survived from antiquity, he said that we can't have the disparity between rich and poor be too large because what ends up happening is you create two separate societies. And so what he said was that there should be an upper limit. And his rule, and I thought this was amazing, he said that the richest person should be no more than four times richer than the average person.
Really?
That should be it. He's not even talking about the poor. He's talking just about the average. He said no more than four times richer than that. And of course, he had a lot of experience with this because in Athens, they went through several revolutions, which were basically about, you know, the rich and the poor fighting for control of their society. So Athens almost fell apart because, you know, basically the rich were preying on the poor. And Solon, the famous legislator, came in and said, okay, we're going to just erase all the debts the poor have. That's how we're going to start over. And the rich were like, grumble, grumble, grumble. But they did it. And during Plato's time.
And they were
time,
still rich.
And they were still rich. That's the thing. Thank you. That is the issue. You know, I mean, it's not like this is going to be some incredible, you know, problem in terms of absolute, like, numbers. But in another Platonic dialogue called the Gorgias, Socrates, who's Plato's mouthpiece, says that people who want to have, who don't understand that concept and want to keep adding to their wealth, have an actual illness. He calls it a disease of the soul, pleonexia, which is kind of like this insatiable greed. He said when somebody has pleonexia, what happens is that no matter how much water you pour into a jug, it's like a jug with a hole in it, there's always going to have to be more. So they constantly demand more resources. And Plato's view about this is that people who act that way, the people who have that disorder, they're basically a kind of slave because they're slave to their own desires.
Mm-hmm.
So should we be feeling sorry for Melon Husk? I don't know. He's got something wrong with him. We know that.
He's not a trillionaire anymore, though. His stock went down enough that he's under the limit now.
Oh, he's not he's still a multi-billionaire now.
Yeah, so he's probably.
Oh, the poor thing.
I know. He probably needs a tax cut.
I'm
or
weeping.
Something.
Yeah, I know.
He's got some.
Hey, who even pays taxes? I mean, what do you?
He's got some rider in his contract with Tesla. I don't remember the details, but it was something like, if there's a settlement on Mars with so many people, it was like 100,000 or a million people. Some big. If there's an active settlement on Mars, he gets like, you know, so many billion dollars or something.
Yeah,
So he's going to be very motivated to be sending people to Mars.
So, yeah, wow.
You know, whether they live or not, it's going to be
that's
not part of the equation.
Incidental, yeah, right. Oh, yeah.
So, well, you know what they should teach in school?
What's that?
The Bible.
Which one?
Well, it's in Texas, so I don't know. You'll have to figure out what
the Bible
is in Texas.
You know, different versions of the Bible have different books in it.
I've heard that. Yeah. So Texas would make Bible stories required reading for more than 5 million public school students under a proposal that has reignited debate over widening efforts in the U.S. to put more religion in classrooms.
Yeah.
The final vote by the Republican-controlled Texas State Board of Education on whether to approve the plan is set for today. So I don't know if they voted yet. But last year, Texas became the largest state to require every classroom to display the Ten Commandments.
Which ones?
And again,
there's three different versions.
I don't know.
They just think it's so simple when you're all living in the vast sea of Protestantism, apparently.
Well, the real ones.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But I got some Bible stories they should tell. I mean, they would turn their parents' hair white.
I love Bible school because I love the Old Testament.
Old Testament's great.
Like they're just slaughtering people and making the sun stand still. And I'm just like, it's God was so in your face back
Donkeys
then.
Donkeys are talking.
Yeah, it's great.
A lot of sex.
Well, and concubines.
A lot of incest. And,
Satan and God are best pals.
They're betting on whether they can break lot or
Job. Yeah.
Job.
Job
yeah.
is going to, yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Job.
Yeah.
Lot's wife got turned to salt.
God, yeah, well, yeah, because Lot left just before God dropped the nuclear bombs on Sodom and Gomorrah.
And what they never tell you is Lot developed high blood pressure from that. Quit kissing her! But yeah, Job is the
weirdest. Don't look back.
Job is the weirdest one.
Yeah, no, Job's great.
They're the devil and God are drinking and going, I bet I can screw this guy up.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I bet you can't.
The scariest line in the Bible is when God asks Satan what he's been doing, and he said, oh, roaming about.
Nothing
to worry about here.
Nothing, honey.
Roaming about.
Oh, and Abraham going off for a little picnic with his son. That's a nice story, too.
He's never going fishing with Dad again.
Dad! Don't tell your mother.
You know, there's two major versions of what that story means. And the one I read recently from this one Israeli philosopher that I thought had a really good view of this was he said, actually, if you look at it, some of this text looks like it's interpolated to make him look like he's obedient. But he says, if you take out this what looks like interpolated text, what is really interesting about that story is it looks like that Abraham is actually defying God.
Oh, really?
And then the angel only shows up afterwards. Now, this is based on scholarship that I have no ability to assess. But it struck me as interesting, the idea that later generations might look back and said, wait, he's like not obeying God. Yeah. And then that would mean that God was rewarding him for not thinking that God was the kind of guy we just had
for independent thinking?
Yeah, that he was rewarding him for independent thinking.
Well, no.
And stopping at the last minute and saying, yeah, okay, great. This is what I want. I don't want you to just be my slave.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, any rate, but we could talk about that forever, too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they say that it shows that that brought an end to human sacrifice.
Right.
That was a normal thing.
Yeah.
And then that was
that's not what I need.
That was God saying, I don't want that.
I want more sheep.
God was into the sheep.
Yeah, but he was into the sheep.
I heard about that, God.
right into the, oh, no. Oh, dear Lord. Blasphemy.
All right, let's take a break.
Yeah, I think we better cool off after that.
We're going to play some announcements here. You are listening to WRT 89.9 FM Madison. You might be listening on the internet at WRTFM.org. You could be listening in the future because we put this show in all of our shows.
Future.
I had your mic turned off, but I knew you were going to say that, so I had to bring you back up. Because of the archives page, you can listen we're up there for 6 weeks. The music shows are up there for 2 weeks, and get the WRT app. It's really helpful for listening to archives and listen live and all kinds of other great stuff. So
I got a whole bunch of stories to come back with of people pushing back on the Trump monarchy. So.
Okay, cool. So all right, we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
Support for this program is provided by WORT's listener sponsors, the National Electrical Contractors Association, Madison Division, and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 159, proudly serving electrical contractors and electricians in the greater Madison area since 1900. More info at IBEW159.org.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street, specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in-Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Bernie's Rock Shop, located at 901 East Johnson, and our new shop, Bernie's on Park, at 636 South Park in Madison. We offer handmade silver jewelry as well as unique mineral, crystal, and fossil specimens from around the world. Store hours and more information available at berniesrockshop.com.
And we're back.
So I didn't even know this was happening. There, the Trump administration had placed sanctions, including penalties like not being able to access U.S.-based bank accounts, on several members of the International Criminal Court, who apparently had in the past looked into some of this nefarious activities that the U.S. government has been involved in, including those, remember those supposedly secret CIA sites that we all know about where they were torturing people and so on. So these judges on this International Criminal Court in the ICC, one of them is from Canada, Kimberly Prost. Another is from Benin, names Renee Alapina Ganso, and a judge from Uganda, Salome Balunga Bossa. And all of them have basically been had their assets frozen and are treated like they are international criminals. What happened was they're suing the Trump administration. They were suing the Trump administration, and they still are, in a case that was filed in the Southern District of New York. And on Wednesday, the judge said that there's no reason for them to basically do this. The Trump administration has no basis for doing this. They did it under two different acts authorized by Congress. One of them has to do with the power that the president has to create sanctions. It was the same thing he used to try to get tariffs. The Emergency Economic Powers Act.
Yeah.
And they said, well, this has nothing to do with that. How could this even be an exercise in their power? But the other one is a thing you may remember that the president's administration violated during the first term, the Administrative Procedure Act, which says that you can't just do things that are arbitrary and capricious, which, by the way, is actually Trump's middle name. So because of that, these two things, you can't. He doesn't have a power to do this, and even if he did have the power, he hasn't provided a reason for it. So, of course, targeting these international judges, that's always, you know, attacking, objective standards of evidence and so on is what authoritarians do all the time. And, of course, is what's led to the Supreme Court that we have today. But they're fighting back, so that's a very positive thing. Also want to mention, everybody, that you probably heard about the Kushners wanting to build Ivanka and Jared wanting to build some kind of outrageous resort on this island in Albania.
I thought it was a lair.
A lair?
Super villain lair, like a big skull island kind of thing.
Skull Island, that's the perfect name for it. Well, the people there don't want Skull Island, apparently. They were going to spend about $4 billion for this development, but there's all kinds. What's fascinating about this, what I love about it is, There are people who are opposed to it because they just see this as another excrescence of the gigantic international wealth conspiracy. But there's also people who are conspiracy theorists of the right, and I think this is fascinating. This shows how that Epstein thing has legs, no matter what Trump says or does or doesn't do about it. Albanians are believing that what the Kushners want is to build a new Epstein Island.
Oh.
So that's going around. And so they're having a real united front against this thing, because some of them are just like the arrogance of, I mean, this is like a national refuge or something, and they're just going to take it and make it into a resort. And so all the lefties are like, all the species, and what about violations of international sovereignty and blah, 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 blah. But all the right-wingers are like, Epstein Island. So they're all out there protesting. And it's like, it's not just happening in the neat little way they thought it would.
Well, they see pedal rings everywhere.
Well, that's true.
You know, pizza places.
But look,
Alamo.
But look at Jared Kushner. I mean, come on.
Why is he negotiating the Iran war with Vance or Marco Rubio? He's in a lot of those meetings.
Did you miss that chapter in medieval European history? Yeah. He's family. That's all. If it's not that, you know, read The Godfather. I mean, you get your relatives to do it because you can trust them, right? I mean, that's how you do everything.
Marco Rubio was trying to explain today why there was a meeting involving, you know, these negotiations. It was like a lunch meeting. And Laura Trump's husband was there. Trump's son-in-law.
Oh, okay.
You know, not other son-in-law.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was kind of stumbling on why he was invited. And and he was just, you know, but he was, of course, doing the usual lie thing. It's like, oh, no, we were just having lunch. You know, we weren't talking about anything. Yeah, it's like, well, why was this guy here? Again, family.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's the basic stuff. It's really...
I didn't know it was a refuge, because I saw a story originally, and Ivanka said, oh, we saw that place and we just fell in love with it.
Yeah, well, everybody does. That's why they want to have it for the public, not for you.
We want it for us.
Yeah, we want to basically have it for us, and we want to monetize it to the tunes of millions and millions of dollars. Yeah,
and we'll kill all these animals and bring in some exotic species.
That's what everything right now, that is our whole concept of what it means to have a successful economy, is everybody has their hands in somebody else's pocket, or they're basically taking what should be publicly available stuff and privatizing it. That's all everyone's doing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's happening with healthcare. It's what happened with education. All these things are just being privatized.
Yeah.
They're just being made into, they're being monetized.
The MAGA Postmaster General said this week he was going to instruct the post office not to deliver mail-in ballots in states that don't cooperate with the federal government on, you know, the fraud detection.
Well, that got struck down too, actually. There was a judge just that would have been, what day was it? Must have just been yesterday. No, Wednesday. Yeah, no, there was a judge in Massachusetts, federal judge in Massachusetts that says, you don't have the power to do that. There's nothing in the statute anywhere that says you have the power to do that.
So they won't do it now?
Yeah, well, they'd probably go to the Supreme Court on the midnight docket.
Well, I mean, they've lost lawsuits. They've been, you know, had court decisions go against them before and just ignored them too. Yeah. So I mean, we're at that point. So hey, just a quick reminder before we get too far afield. There's a few more days left to vote in the Madison Magazine's Best of Madison. Voting goes through the end of the month on June 30th. And we have some people from WRT who are in the finals. That our little show was a finalist in the Best Radio Team/host, and also our Jeff.
Although for ours, best is in quotes.
Yeah. It just says rest on ours. Right?
Yeah,
so, and I'll probably butcher his name, but Ohio does a jazz show here on, I think, Tuesdays, and he's in the radio host team category, and then the news department is listed as WRTFM.org.
They got a great news department.
News site. So
yeah.
So get out there, and it's the only democracy that works anymore is the Best of Madison. I hate to break it to you, but no, that's not true.
That's basically true.
Do not get defeatist.
All right. No, don't get defeatist.
Yeah. So. Oh, and just a correction. We were talking a lot about the reflecting pool last week.
Yes.
And we said there was algae in it.
Yes.
And it turns out it wasn't algae. It was Soylent Green. So it's fine.
Apparently, there.
It's part of the fine print in the new Affordable Care Act.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. God. Well, there was a story actually here from Madison, from Monona, where apparently the algae has become... It's so foul smelling right now that people who are living along the lake are just absolutely, you know, just retching as a result. But I got to tell you, I mean, I don't mean any disrespect, but, you know, again, we've lived in this town for a long time. As we've grown, everybody puts treatment on their lawns. Everybody, you know, I mean, you can't have a waterway. I mean, it's an interconnected, complex water system where everyone's living there and everybody's basically treating it like, you know, their backyard.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, a lot of this is just development. I mean, we need to maybe do something different with lawns and things like that.
Yeah, there's that and egg runoff. I mean, I remember when it used to be August until the lake started stinking, and then it, you know, every year it got a little bit, you know, a little bit earlier, and now we're into June when the algae's a problem. And
yeah, well, I let
and they're mowing the lake.
Well, I know. Yesterday, well, it was the day before yesterday, I was because we live right on Lake Mendota, and I have to say I was making some accusations about the smells, you know. I was like, is that you? No, stand by the window. Oh, it's the lake. Okay.
See, it's tough on families.
It's tough on families. Yeah. Yes, it is.
Oh, here's an unexpected headline. Gambling disorders spike in states that legalize sports betting.
Yep.
I don't think I even need to click through on that one.
What a surprise.
Well, this, you know, this sports betting on your phone, it's like crack pretty much for a gambling addict. I mean, it really can just bankrupt somebody in about 15 minutes.
I have a friend whose retired mother used to be able to go to the, you know, casinos and stuff like that, right? But now she's getting, you know, she's getting up there and it's harder for her to get around. Oh, she doesn't need to worry about getting to the casinos on the senior bus anymore.
Oh, no.
She's got that phone with her every second.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty sad.
She just have her Social Security check deposited, right? Yeah.
Listen, that's a whole nother thing which we don't want to get into. But yeah, totally pushes the gambling button there. I was happy to see this. A small group of former government workers has created a new climate science website. And this is these are members of the former staff members at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. And they previously, you know, they had this wonderful site, climate.gov, which included data, various kinds of reports, articles, and congressionally mandated national climate assessments. But of course, we wouldn't want anybody thinking that climate change, in particular global warming, is real. So all that stuff was shuttered. It was all taken down by the Trump administration. They also taken down the website for the U.S. Global Change Research Program, which houses the federal government's national climate reports and so on. So what happened was all these folks who used to be on climate.gov have now created a full clone, they're calling it, a full clone of the site. So it's got all the information that they sort of pulled out the back door. They're probably going to get sued by somebody here. But and they're basically posting this for the public. They feel like so it's basically a small team of former NOAA staff members, NOAA, again, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and they crowdsourced for this, and they got about $280,000, which really wasn't a lot, but they had the expertise and the willpower, and they got it done. So much of the information, now, including data and reports on climate change-related disasters like hurricanes and so on, is available to the public again and free to use. And the new website includes status reports on key climate indicators, blog posts from scientists, maps, data, resources for educators, and so on. And it also has the total text of the fifth National Climate Assessment, which was something that, of course, the Trump administration did not want to make available to you. So I would look that out. I don't look that up. I don't see the actual site name, but I'm sure it's be easy to find. So the NOAA scientists have created their own private site, which gives you the information that you need for free.
Cool. We just got an email from Paul. We were talking about the white Afrikaners moving here, and
now
they're getting preferred treatment,
yes,
and gift bags and stuff. He sent a story. It's from The Guardian.
Okay,
and it's talking about a bunch of South Africans, white South Africans, who've been settled in Ohio, which I don't know what they ever did to deserve that.
But. Ohio's done a lot to deserve. Them. Yeah, okay. I was unsure who was not deserving.
Sure, they're white supremacists. But anyway, so the story is about how they're running afoul of new Trump administration regulations that make it really tough for immigrants to get driver's licenses.
Oh.
And so they're struggling with that, and a lot of them are getting the heck out of Ohio because they can't get a license, they can't get transportation, and these were obviously not intended to apply to white people.
Right.
They're really upset about it. And the Trump, you know, Stephen Miller is going to have to go back and rewrite those regulations. And
so I guess
with your paint swatch, I think.
Paint swatches are going to be the standard, yeah. Man. Oh, God, it's so sad.
Melvina had a friend one time. He was from Africa, and he had very dark skin. And he drove for... He lived in a pretty nice neighborhood in Madison, and cops were always pulling him over. He had a pretty nice car, too.
Yeah.
Cops were always pulling him over because they saw this black guy driving a nice car in a nice neighborhood. So he got tired of it, and he got an Uber sticker.
Yeah.
And put the Uber sticker on.
Oh, my God. That's so smart.
And the cops were pulling him
Protective
over.
Protective coloration. Yeah, right.
I'm just the servant here. You know, don't hassle me. So.
Oh, wow.
Anyway.
Got another positive story here. Florida has begun to dismantle the state-run immigration detention center, sometimes nicknamed Alligator Alcatraz.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. State officials informed vendors in a call just this Monday that they could begin demobilizing or taking down the tents, fences, trailers, and other structures there. The directive came just days after the Department of Homeland Security said that all detainees had been transferred out of the remote center, which had opened less than a year ago. And, of course, it was a lot of fanfare when they, you know, when they opened it, but not so much about them closing it.
Yeah.
So.
That's their usual technique. They make a big, big show. It's like the Foxconn here. They had the big shovel turning ceremony with Trump and Scott Walker. And and look at all the stuff you're going to get.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Story out of Australia. A magician has vanished. Ta-da!
It's like the point.
he's been missing for 10 days now, and they're looking for him. But his name, and this should be a clue, his name is Daniel Hidden.
Ah.
H-I-D-D-E-N.
Excellent name.
He's been missing, so I don't know. They'll probably find him sawed in half or something. Sorry.
So, an oak, the major oak, a tree.
The mighty oak.
It was an 800-year-old tree that was probably around as part of Sherwood Forest back when Robin Hood,
really?
who was a real person, was gavotting about. Apparently, it is now dead, unfortunately. Aww. Yeah, and it's an interesting what they think is the problem. Part of it was as climate change. It's too hot for the tree. The tree managed to last many, many, many centuries, but it's just stressor. I mean, there have been record heat waves you were just alluding to earlier, and hot summers over Britain. But there's also an interesting weird thing that was the result of this, and that is so many people came to see this tree that they literally smashed the ground down from their constant walking.
Sure.
So that the tree was unable to get any nutrition from this very densely packed earth. And they tried to do a bunch of things over the years. They had a fence, for example, to help protect the soil.
That's never going
to
work.
Yeah. They had some wooden props to just kind of help it up, you know, a little bit. But they even tried to kind of like enliven the soil with some some chip mulch and and some other stuff, but it just wasn't going to happen. So this tree, they're not sure exactly. It's hard to tell with a tree quite that old. The conservative estimate is 800 years, but it could be actually almost 1,000 years old, they think, is a possibility as well. So now poor thing is now gone. You feel bad for stuff like that. I mean, everything's so transient, and you feel like there's this living thing that's been there and seen everything for all that time, and we managed to basically do it in. Good for us. All right. We're the ones that did it.
On a related story, a tree story, a Canadian town has officially recognized trees as living beings with their own rights, with the mayor dubbing them our biggest ally.
Oh, just like Tolkien.
It's about, exactly, the Ents.
Yep.
It's about 40 miles from Montreal. They declared trees have the right to life, to natural growth, to integrity, and regeneration.
Cool.
So, way to go.
Remember, they were bad. I don't know. They didn't really feature that much in the movie, but as we know from the book, The Lord of the Rings, they're bad trees, too. They were,
oh, I forgot.
They were naughty trees that tried to kill the hobbits at one point. Kind of like those trees in The Wizard of Oz. Remember the ones that threw the apples?
People would always talk about how scary the witch was. Those trees.
Trees were much worse.
They were the creepiest part of that whole. You got your trees, the monkeys.
Oh, the monkeys. Oh, my God.
And then the witch.
Yeah.
And probably Glinda, because she could have told Dorothy right at the beginning she could have gone home.
She was so passive-aggressively evil.
Oh, yeah, you got to run around there and risk death.
Right. Oh, by the way, did I mention you always had the power to come back to Canada?
You witch!
I'll tell you what scared me about The Witch when I was a kid, because I, like most kids of my generation, watched it every year.
Sure.
And I watched it actually on the big screen once, too, and that was because they were showing it at a local theater, and that was pretty intense. The witch enjoyed her sadism so much. Yeah. That really did frighten me as a child.
Oh, like,
she's having a good time.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? That cackle.
It reminded me of some of my relatives, actually. You were that evil, so.
I love a little fire, Scarecrow. Yikes.
She really
got off on it,
burning the Scarecrow.
I know. She's into it.
That's like the part at the end when Dorothy's, you know, saying goodbye to everybody, and she gets the Scarecrow and goes, I'm going to miss you most of all. And it's like the Tin Man and the Lion are right there. It's like, well, thanks a lot.
There was originally a subplot where there was like some kind of weird romantic thing.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Look it up. It's amazing. And they thought, no, we don't need that. Because how could you have a movie in the 1930s without romance, right?
I
mean, come on.
Sure.
So there was like, they left
straw.
That was, I know. Well, you know, whatever you want. You know what I mean? We don't judge on this show. Straw, tin, whatever you like. Whatever you're into.
Lions.
Lions, yeah.
Guy in a lion costume.
Yeah, like bisexual lions.
Here's a little behind the scenes peek at this is a little older story, but it's about the attempt of the Trump administration to acquire Greenland.
Oh yeah.
And a Trump official and Texas venture capitalist. I can't even get past that part.
Those two things just like come together like salt and pepper. You know what I mean? It's like
his name is Thomas Dans.
Okay.
He was identified by the Danish government as one of the three Americans running private influence operations in Greenland.
Yeah.
He was appointed by Trump in December to serve as the chair of the U.S. Arctic Research Commission because he has a lot of experience in research. But he was trying to like sell Trump on the idea that that we should get Greenland. And he said, one of the things we could do if we got that is that Red Lobster could bring back its all-you-can-eat shrimp deal.
Okay, I got to give that guy credit. He knows exactly how to reason with Trump. Oh, yeah, the shrimp thing. Yeah, that'll do it. My mind is made up now.
All you can eat?
This is like a man who's had all he can eat.
And I hate to get like, you know, let facts intrude here, but that's not why Red Lobster went broke.
No.
It was some vulture capitalist bought
it. Right, of course.
They made these changes where It was things like the franchise owners had to, like, sell the property to the, you know, the vultures, and,
yeah,
and then rent it back and pay rent and stuff like that.
Yeah, and surfed them all over again.
Yeah. Yep. So, and then that killed the all-you-can-eat shrimp deal.
Yep,
so,
there you go.
But if we had Greenland.
Yeah, yep. And the venture capital.
Look, think of all that shrimp. Enough shrimp for every man, woman, and child.
More. More.
I like the part in that Simpsons episode where Homer was eating, like, the plastic fish.
Yeah, yeah. He's a voracious eating machine.
It is no man.
Gaze upon that maw in despair.
All right, time to declare the weekend.
Hey, what you doing this weekend?
I don't know, not too much. Mow the lawn. Walk the dog.
True Americana there. All right, excellent.
Are we supposed to blow some stuff up this weekend, or is that
next weekend?
Next weekend, okay. Yeah. I'll go blow something up next weekend. So.
Yeah. So I'm going to, next week, I'm going to bring a copy of the Declaration of Independence. I'm going to read the section where they indict George III. I'm going to see how many of those things apply today. We got to keep history alive.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good. All right. Well, thanks for listening. Pants, it was great to see you.
You too, buddy.
Stick around. The kiosk is next. After that, the other Mr. S?
Me.
No Jaguar today. The other Mr. S.
He's in France. Oh, dear.
Wow. So it's 100 degrees in France. So. All right, we're going to head out here. It's time for the kiosk, and you are listening to WRT 89.9 FM, Madison.
Hot pants! Hey, hot pants! Smoking hot pants! Smoking that hot pants! That's where it's at! That's where it's at! Take your minds up on!
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, June 26th. This is Bird Note. While many songbirds are accomplished soloists, some of the bird world's most impressive performances are actually duets. In North America, breeding pairs of Carolina wrens sing duets to strengthen their bond and defend territory. The male repeats a series of clear notes, accompanied by the female's steady trill. In Ecuador, plain-tailed wrens blend their voices so perfectly that it sounds to our human ears as if just one bird were singing. Wrens aren't the only birds that sing as power couples. In this duet of oriole warblers from Senegal, the female keeps time with a rising series of staccato notes as the male